Behold, he winnoweth barley for night and the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now, it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the kinsman part. As the Lord liveth, he lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came unto the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said unto me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be at rest until he have finished the thing this day. Let's pause and pray. Father, we thank thee this morning for thy beloved Son, in our own personal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit in his own infinite way would speak to our hearts as together we consider this precious passage. Reveal Christ to us, we pray. In his own worthy name, amen. The teacher in me finds it very difficult not to have a review of what's gone before. But you're familiar with the passage, and in light of the time, I think we'll take a look at verses 1 and 5 as we learn about the rest that Naomi desired for her daughter-in-law, Ruth. This was Naomi's desire. She had made it known, actually, before she and Ruth had left Moab. She said to Orpah and to Ruth, You go back to your land, to your culture, to your mothers, and find rest back there. And what she meant was this, you go back there and find the rest of a husband. And that passion, that burden is still heavy on the heart of Naomi, that she might find a husband for her daughter-in-law. But isn't that the desire of every godly parent, to find a husband for a daughter, a godly man who will give rest and the contentment to their daughter in knowing that she has a man who cares for her and loves her? Dear child of God, as a parent, make this one of your major objectives, to provide and see provided for your daughter and your son as well, mates that are godly in nature. And Boaz fit the description completely, didn't he, as we've studied the character and the personality of this dear man. These were perilous times in the land, and every woman needed to know the protection and the care of a man. Beloved, as you and I live in this dark, dark hour, this hour preceding the rapture, it's so obvious, isn't it, that out there it's wild and it's dark. Satan's in control, and our children need to have godly mates. And you young people, you be aware of the fact that you should be having a desire before God and being much in prayer that the Lord will provide you with the man or the woman of His choosing, one who is godly and one who has a passion to live for God. And as He provides that one, the subject of your prayers, then you'll be blessed indeed. Every concerned Christian parent longs for such an individual, that they might not only know the rest of married life, but that they might know rest in Christ. What a fantastic experience that must be for a godly woman to be able to look at her husband and say, "He is a man of God. He's going to keep me." The word husband simply means a band about the house, about the home. And blessed indeed is the woman who can look with adoring eyes upon the man God has given her and say, "He's a godly man. His interests first are in God, and I come next. And He's going to bless me, and He's going to protect me, and He's going to keep me from a wicked world." And she will know that blessing and that delight. Oh, to have that love relationship between husband and wife. I read recently of the experience of Dr. Robertson McQuilkin. He was caring for a wife that wasn't well. And as a godly preacher, he was doing a fair amount of traveling, and he longed to take his wife with him. One day, awaiting plane connections in Detroit, he and his wife were sitting together, but she was restless and always wanted to be on the move. In the place where they were sitting there in the terminal, it was necessary for them to walk past a young woman, obviously a businesswoman, with her laptop there on her knee. Every time they did, he had to excuse them. They'd go past her, they'd come back. Once again, he'd ask to be excused, and off they'd go. And it was repeated time and time again, and he was feeling it. And he heard the young woman say something under her breath. He said, "I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said." "Oh," she said, "I just said to myself, I wonder if I will ever have a man who will love me like that." Dear young woman, don't go for looks. Don't go for wealth. Go for a man in touch with God who loves you as He loves the Lord. And God will bless you. And so The passion, the desire of Naomi was for a man who would love the one she loved and grant rest. Ruth has a bold plan. She outlines it as far as Naomi is concerned. And what does she say? She says, "Well, Ruth, I'll tell you what to do. Go and wash yourself. Use your best perfumes, those aromatic spices. Prepare yourself. Put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. And when you're at the threshing floor, you get your eye on Boaz, the man you love, and I believe loved her, and watch him. And when he's eaten and had his meal, you watch where he goes to lay down to guard his grain. And when it's dark, when no one can see you, you go and lay at his feet." Something, it just seems so strange in our culture, doesn't it? But it wasn't in the culture of the day. Well, Ruth has done that. And she's gone to the threshing floor as directed by a loving mother-in-law. And she's there. She's gone in the night hour. She wanted to meet her Redeemer. When did you meet him? Remember Nicodemus? He came to Jesus by night. And what an experience he had. I came by night, 27th of February, 44. I came by night to the Lord Jesus. This dear Robbie McClurkin went through John 3:16, the verse I knew so well, having been raised in a Christian home. I was there in the back row of that gospel hall in Vancouver. I put my trust and my faith in Christ. And I found him. I found him at night. Beloved, the text is still in the book. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ruth had to take the initiative, as we will see. And every guilty sinner must take the initiative of coming by faith to the cross and to the one who died thereon, asking for forgiveness of a lifetime of sin. To know the joy of sins forgiven. Have you ever come to Christ? Is there someone here today in this large audience and you have yet to come to the Savior? You know, I confess to you that often I tremble when I sit at the Lord's Supper and I see the saints gathered in a family capacity, possibly dads at the end of the row, and there's a group of kids. Lovely indeed. And there's Mother. Dad's given the loaf of bread. He takes his portion. He passes it down the row. And that which speaks of the given, broken body of the Lord then goes to Mother. She takes hers. And then the wine in turn. And I think to myself, is it possible that these kids are sitting there and they're watching that which speaks of the body and blood of Christ. They see it pass them by and they haven't taken their portion. Oh, I plead with you, dear fellow, dear girl, if you don't know Christ, please come to the one who longs to be your Redeemer. Come to Calvary and know the joy of sins forever forgiven. But in verses 6 and 7, the one who seeks rest is recognized. 6 to 9, Ruth is done as told. The evening meal has been served. Boaz is satisfied, and he's gone to rest. And he's there at the heap of grain to guard it from any thieves that might come along. The night is getting colder. As the midnight hour draws near, and at midnight, Ruth laying there at his feet, all of a sudden, Boaz stirs. She has come. Did you notice the word? I think it's a precious word. It says she came secretly. The word is softly, but I think she came secretly as well. She came that she would not be detected. She did not want to disturb him. She wanted to come where she knew she would find the answer. Would he be her redeemer? And so she positions herself at his feet. This was the usual custom, as I have mentioned. And as she lays there and the midnight hour dawns, Boaz, in the act of sleep possibly, stretches himself. And to his surprise, he touches a body. "Who is it?" he demands. "Who art thou?" Possibly he suspected a thief in his midst. Dear Ruth responds, "I am Ruth, thine handmaiden." Beloved, thank God she came, and she came at the midnight hour. Just at the appropriate time. And there is no more appropriate time for you to come to Christ today than this very moment. Will you come? He responds with tones of surprise. "Who art thou?" he asks. "I am Ruth, thine handmaiden." And she makes a strange statement to you and me. And she said, "Spread therefore your skirt over thine handmaiden, for thou art a near of kin." As Ruth took her place at the feet of Boaz, he had previously taken his long robe, his garment, his skirt, and he'd thrown it over himself to protect him from the coldness of the night. But she just lifts a corner and puts herself under the cloak, under the skirt of this man of God. "Oh," says Ruth, "spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." There's such a beautiful picture here. Boaz, by taking his skirt and putting it over top of Ruth, would say, "I want you to be mine." Ruth has asked Boaz, in a sense, to propose to her, to make her his. And now he takes his skirt and he puts it over her. Not that the two might be under a garment with evil intent, no, but the highest of intentions. He wants to make this object of his love. I believe the young woman that he saw in the field and deeply and dearly had come to love, as we'll see in a moment. Now, she's saying, "Please make me your own." What did he do? He put it over her. He had commended Ruth in the past, back in chapter 2. He had commended her in verse 12 for asking Jehovah and she coming in under his protective wing. You see what's happened? She had asked the Lord for that protection. And now what's happened? Ruth is saying to Boaz, "I want your protection." How could he deny such love? He would express it by throwing his skirt over her. "Beloved, my God in high heaven loved me, and he sent his son to die on Calvary's cross, that everlasting life might be yours and mine. And that moment you came to the Lord Jesus and said, in effect, Lord Jesus, I want the protection of your shed blood. I want to know your redemptive life and love. Lord Jesus, please protect me." Borrowing the words of Ruth, you say,
put your skirt over me. There is no one else that can protect me. No one else who can keep me. No one else who can care for me. So please do that. He had shown that interest, hadn't he? Remember when they sat together at lunch a day or so before? He had said, "You join me for lunch." He'd issued an invitation to her, just as the Lord Jesus issued that invitation to you and me. Just as he does this morning to the sinner. He says, "Come." Ruth wanted rest. Listen to the one who said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's his desire this morning to do just that for you as well as for me. And many an individual has come as a believer to know that rest and to enjoy that rest that comes from him. Thank God, it's a continuing experience, isn't it? Our brethren have been telling us of the goodness of God through terrific days. And he has an interest in us to protect us, to give us that rest. Thanks be to God for every time. We've come with broken and heavy hearts, Lord. Meet my need. And he's granted that rest. Helen and I went through one of those horrific experiences some 25 years ago. One of the verses that gave us such comfort was Psalm 50:15. It says, "This, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee." That isn't the end. It says, "And thou shalt glorify me." And I thank God that our wondrous God brought us through each step. "Call upon me in the day of trouble," and we did. "And I will deliver thee." And he did. "Thou shalt glorify me." And we continue to do it. Beloved, that's our God. And Ruth felt the need of such a Redeemer. And God, the Spirit, will bless you as he blessed dear Ruth. But what does he do? Why, he acts with the greatest of honor and integrity. And he says to her, "Now, I want you to remain here. I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay. I want you to be my Redeemer." He says he will. But you know what? I think as Ruth thought she heard the wedding bells, they were interrupted when Boaz said, "There's another kinsman nearer than me." Another? Is there the possibility that she will not become the personal possession of this Redeemer? There was that problem in the midnight hour. And I'm sure that it seemed that the dreams were shattered, at least momentarily. What would she do now? What did Boaz say? He says, "Tarry this night. Don't leave. Just stay here. Stay here until the morning." That's a great place to be, at the feet of the Redeemer, when in the darkness of your experience and mine, he says, "Just stay here until the morning. Stay in my presence." And beloved child of God, how wonderful it is to know that you and I are still welcome at the feet of our Redeemer. Those feet that were pierced at Calvary can still be our blessed, comforting abode as we come and stay until the morning. Until the morning. Tarry until the morning. And that's what she did. But then the morning dawns. She's laid there. And now she must leave. Boaz's desire was this, that it might not be known in the community that a woman had spent the night on the threshing floor with him. Can you imagine the headlines in the Bethlehem Banner the next morning if that was detected?
This man who is a judge, this man of integrity, honesty, and honor, that had a young widow spend the night with him. Oh no, that was not the intent at all. But before the dawn broke in all of its brightness and brilliance, Ruth arose in the gray, murky dawn. While she would yet be unidentifiable to those she would pass on her way home, Boaz says to her, "Bring your shawl." She brought her shawl, and he said, "Now, you hold it out." And he fills it with grain, precious grain that will give strength, and be to her a promise that he will keep his word to her. And he fills that shawl, thought to have held some 58 to 90 pounds. Then he took it and he placed it on her head. The place where a woman would carry such a burden in that day, she would carry it home. What a sight she must have been. But off she goes to meet her mother-in-law and report back to her all the blessings that had befallen her. As she walks down the street, I'm confident with every step of the way, her heart beats more rapidly. She rehearses the events of the night that's passed. She has the assurance from Boaz that he will redeem her, that he will make her his own. She's nearing home now. What a restless night Naomi had. I'm confident that she paced the floor, wondering what had happened, how had it all gone. Finally, she looks out the window. Why, Ruth is coming up, and she's bearing a burden on her head. The door is open, flung open by Naomi, and in rushes Ruth. She takes that load from off her head, places it down on the floor. Naomi says something strange. She says, "Who art thou, my daughter?" Didn't she know her? Poor translation. Should have been the words that you and I would use. How did it go, Ruth? How did it go? Tell me. I can't wait. Tell me. "Oh," she says, "it went just as you planned it, or the divine plan, as it was executed. And I went through step by step. I did what you told me. I laid at the man's feet. I took that place of humility. And although he recognized me as a virtuous woman, I realized that I needed someone outside myself for redemption. I asked him if he would be my kinsman redeemer. And he said yes. He responded to my proposal, and he's promised to look into the matter. But mother-in-law, there's another kinsman, and he has prior claim." You know, God bless Naomi. She's like so many godly women you and I know. They know men. At times, much to our embarrassment. What did she say, Ruth? "Stop your pacing up and down the floor. What? Before this day is through, the man will do as he promised." You see, Naomi knew men. And Naomi knew the Redeemer. You dear young women, what a joy it is to see you young people here. I love young people. I've had the joy of working with them and among them for a number of years. And if I could start it all over again, that's exactly where I'd go. But you young women, you go for knowing God's will. And it may be that it would be profitable in certain hours when decisions must be made. You seek out that godly sister, one of whom Peter would have directed to give help to you. You go to her and you talk the matter over with her. and God will bless you. And so, here, the hour is wearing on. She's come home, much to the concern of dear Ruth. She's wondering how it will go. She's told, but Ruth, how do you know the man will keep his word? Naomi, how do you know? She looks at that 90 pounds of grain sitting on the floor. She says, that's the earnest. That's the promise that he's going to keep his word. Oh, dear child of God, isn't it wonderful to know that we have one who has blessed us immeasurably with an earnest? Boaz said, Ruth, I'm going to be your kinsman redeemer. And this is my promise. This is my assurance. Just give me to later in the day the moral, and I'll make you my own. You see, what I love about this passage, oh, there's so many things, but one thing I love about it is this, that Boaz has showed his hand in a couple of ways. First, remember, he called her to lunch. He provided for her. He offered to protect her, and he would. But did you notice this morning? He said, there's another kinsman. What did that tell you? He checked all the bases. He wanted to know, was there anybody who can kind of come up my blind side and come in and claim Ruth and the property? And he learned there was. What's that tell you? He wanted Ruth to himself and for himself. Oh, beloved, that's your Redeemer and mine. Hear him say again, don't go to another field. Stay in my field. Know the blessings that I can give. Wonder what will happen later in the morning. Well, you got to come back this afternoon to find out. And I hope you will. Who was that other kinsman, by the way? How would he act? How would Boaz react? Oh, beloved, if we didn't know the final chapter, thank God we know how our Redeemer has reacted toward us. And for a dear woman from idolatrous Moab, she would know redemption. And for poor, guilty, worthless sinners like you and me, we've known redemption. How thankful we should be to our great and wondrous God. Father, please look afresh upon the object of our love and thine. He bears the marks of Calvary. And receive our thanks for our blessed kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ.